a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Okay, hi folks, how y'all doing? Leaving search results morning here, but we won't talk too much about that. We wish everyone the best of luck listening to the radio. Everyone seems to be up a few grades anyway, so the best of luck to them. I have a lady who did it last year, was hanging on for this year's results. She was a bit panicky now, dropping her into work this morning about points going up, but there's two sides to every story. But delighted to be back this morning, guys. Probably won't be as long as we were last week in our marathon session with Derek and Ken Hogan. We'll be with Mark and TJ and Larry here again. Delighted today as our special guest, as we had him last year, to be joined by Kilkenny centre-back. Well, Ock and Gales, great. Brian Hogan, how's it going, Huggy?
Hi, Dalo, how's it going?
Good man.
Dalo?
Yes, Mark?
That means so you won't be talking about Getaway Queen now for 20 minutes like you were last week, like?
I was going to start with Getaway Queen, Mark, because my phone, like, was on fire all last week. Is Landers worried about the ground? What's correct. The story?
I was worried about the ground, Dalo.
And I said, they're worried, don't worry, Dave Friday. And I said, lads, go easy. Anyone that texts me and says, go easy, each way, Max. And you delivered the each way, like?
Absolutely, Dalo. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go in the Cotton situation, but I was at the Killer GA Classic. We had the 3 days in West Waterford. Very successful 3 days. So next year now, don't forget to put in a team for me, will you?
Yeah, well, Cahy was on to me about it already. I know. Notice this year, in fairness. You could have given a bigger plug last week too, but you were full up for 3 days.
We were full up. If we answer Ray Ratchett, 24 years going and 137 teams over the 3 days. Massive.
Good and gentle, you know, the third bit. 137 teams.
Correct. Right. And 165 paid, which is even better again. So he's absolutely thrilled.
And did you win a weekend away or anything?
A bit like the Queen, I came off a bit short.
And Mark, no big dinners or anything afterwards, no? All done, I assume, properly social distanced, yeah?
Absolutely. Everything was perfect. We had a takeaway vendor from Cairnies there in Tala, and bacon and cabbage, chicken, or bangers and mesh. So we had a choice of three, TJ. So.
Oh, very good. Can't beat the Cork boys, Dale, as you get.
The next show.
There's money in East Cork, TJ.
Seems to be. I'm
telling you. There's money on that East Cork Waterford border, boy, I'll tell you that much. Come here, just before we leave the Queen, like, since she's now the darling of the podcast, like, it's kind of misty here, and I'm about, I suppose, 30 miles directly north of Listowel here in West Clare.
The turf's down there, Dale, I don't think so, but we might be going towards the TJ's Banks now, next Thursday night, maybe.
Oh, Galway.
Island 3.
Limerick.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, okay. Listeners,
keep an eye. The eyes and ears open and the waves.
Well, you heard it here. Keep an eye. Put her into your trackers. So, look, we start this morning, I suppose, as we had a massive weekend of hurling again. Even though there was none in Cork, thank God we got a break from it, but we'll have to talk about next weekend.
But in fairness to Larry, even though we weren't playing over the weekend, Larry covered a great in the Examiner of the Little All-Ireland as well. Because as a Tipperary man, I'm delighted to hear Larry is promoting the Little All-Ireland there.
Yeah, there was a touch of irony in the sacrosanct.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of the old Tipperary breaking out there as he was saying it.
Hell's Kitchen. I got a bit of Hell's Kitchen there now, but look, and fellas, I think he mentioned the double as well into the 30th year of the double hurling and football. So we're keeping the head down now for another couple of weeks, Dale.
Yeah. You are thinking about another double, though.
Yeah, well, it might be this year, I'd say, somehow.
The winter hurling won't suit you.
I don't think so, no.
Hoagie's coming, I'd say I better set for it.
Definitely. When you see Belly Hale Shamrock yesterday, you touches Kilkenny all over again. 4 goals in the first 5 minutes from Belly Hale.
Yeah. On that, Brian, it was hard to see, like Clara had done well in the league section, hadn't they? And I know your brother would have played with Clara and you'd have a fair idea what'd be going on there. But like, Jesus, you couldn't see that coming out, could you? They've had two ferocious battles the last 2 years, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, Clara would have always put it up to Ballyhale, you know, and put up to most teams. I mean, they've been thereabouts for the last number of years, if two county titles, and with this particular crop of players, a couple of them have come and gone, but the core of the team is still there, you know, with Lester Ryan and Liam, the brother, and a few others. But yeah, look, Ballyhale, sure. I mean, it's different year, same story, really, in Kilkenny, in so far as, you know, when it comes down to the business end of the season, they're always there, thereabouts. They came off the back of the Club All-Ireland and, you know, they were slow out of the blocks. They had a draw against Tullerone, and I think by Collins' own admission there in the interview after the match, they were lucky to get the draw. Anyone that saw the match on TV, I think it was one of the first matches that was televised. It was a great match. You know, but again, that was even a sign of the quality they have. Most teams, when they're 3 points down, what do? You lurry the ball into the square and you hope for a break. They worked the ball up the field, never panicked, got the ball to the right guys in the right position, you know, and fell to TJ, and they worked a move and scored a goal. Then they played my club, then played the Loughlin Gales, and we gave them a good beating. I mean, I suppose we were looking at that match as a kind of a test of where we were at, you know. Any day you beat Ballyhale is a good day. And we beat by 9 points. Now, you know, they were missing one or two, and obviously Adrian Mullen is a long-term injury. But since then, you know, when it comes to championship, they just seem to know how to time it, you know. And again, the longer it goes on the championship, the harder they are to beat. You know, if you're going to beat them, you want to play them in a quarter-final. They're in a semi-final now. The Village are going to find it very difficult to beat them, particularly the firepower they have. And they looked awesome.
Yeah. What I was going to ask you, Brian, like, some of the lesser lights are really starting. We'll say lesser lights now. These are fellas with back-to-back All-Ireland club medals. Yeah, like, yeah, but you know, that's what I thought. Like Colin only came out with a point. But Colin, to me, is nearly playing the best hurling of his life at the moment. Like, he'd a hand in three of the goals. Like,
yeah.
I mean, what a target, man, full forward line, club and county, is turning out to be.
Yeah, like, I suppose there's a couple of things in that, Dello. First, Colin, I mean, like, he's... The guy is just so powerful. What they can do is they can bring Owen Reid out, kind of floating, drifting out around, picking up loose ball, because Colin is so strong that they know that if they deliver the ball in, he ties up two, three, four defenders at stages, you know, because he's quick, he's able to cover the ground, and then he's able to hold the ball up. So you can see it even for the first goal. I think there were three Clara defenders hanging out of him, and he still managed to hold them off and kick the ball. You know, so when you've got a guy in the inside line who, you know, if you're under pressure, you can deliver the ball in, and he's going to make it stick in there. That's massive. Now, saying that, more often than not, Ballyhale tend to deliver the ball, the right ball in. They rarely end up having to deliver, you know, a long ball in. They always hurl their heads up. So that's the first thing. I mean, to have Colin in there, and to have him going, hurling as well as he is a huge asset for them. But yeah, the lesser lights, I mean, Jesus, for years we would have played against them. You know, I was fortunate enough to win a couple of county titles in Kilkenny and that kind of thing. But the shadow of Ballyhale is always there, you know, and I suppose when we were going strong, you had the Ballyhale team, you know, arguably probably the best one with Cha, Mick Fenley, Henry, TJ, all of their pomp. But it was always the guys, you know, it was the Mark Aylwards, it was the Owen Reeds. They were the guys that kill you. You'd be so focused on trying to hold Henry or hold TJ, and you'd have a game plan, and Jesus, it'd be Owen Reed to pop up a 2-3 or Mark Aylward to get a, you know, these guys. And there was this perception that, their backs mightn't be as good as their forwards. But listen, every single one of those Ballyhale guys, most of them have hurled underage for Kilkenny and have hurled zone under 21 for Kilkenny. They're all very accomplished hurlers in their own right. You'll rarely find a weak, you know, a weak hurler in a Ballyhale team. They're all well able to hurl their own positions.
Yeah, and even to me, your man Dean Mason in goal is really playing well as well. That's a tough ask for the Village. They held out against Mullinavat late battle. I'll have to ask you about the other semi-final. It looks mouthwatering, and your own boys in the borough, a city derby.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a cracker. They played a couple of weeks ago, it was only 2 weeks ago in the league final, and they had to be separated by penalties. So there's nothing between them. I mean, these lads will know each other inside out because I suppose for the last 10 years anyway, if not longer, O'Loughlin's and Dixborough have been dominating in the underage, you know, winning minors, 16s, 14s, etc., and 21s. So they all know each other fierce well. And, you know, it was a matter of, you know, could both clubs make that kind of step, blend in all these young players, get the right combination, you know, and both teams have, you know, and, you know, obviously the Borough got a county title here a few years ago, where possibly you were caught last year by Éireann's own in a dirty, miserable day in Nolan Park and, you know, got brought into a dogfight, you know, and got caught. And I think they were hurting after that. And I think they seem to be a team that's, you know, their management stayed on for another year. And I think they're a team that are on a mission to try and rectify the disappointment of last year. And ourselves as well, you know, I think we've a very young side, you know, good blend there with a couple of, you know, obviously with the likes of Hugh and Paddy, backbone in the defence and that. So, yeah, that's going to be a great match. You know, both are, you know, really good hurling teams, you know, they like to move the ball quick and, there's nothing between them. That'll be, and of course, the City Derby as well. So there'll be plenty of niggle there as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. I see Cody and DJ there together yesterday on TG Cahir. I'd say he's licking his chops with some of the stuff that's been thrown up anyway, in fairness.
Yeah, I wonder which side of the club, which numbers of the club they got in under for that match. Was there a side gate open to allow him in, or what was the story? But I see him up in the stand. I thought it'd be a brave one. Steward had stopped Ryan from coming in, but. Yeah, look, I mean, he's obviously his eye now on what's coming, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, obviously, when the lads come back in under the, you know, the Wicklikenny. But yeah, look, there's plenty of lads to view on show, you know, and I suppose he's particularly with, you know, he's the Dixborough and the Loughlins, you know, there's a couple of other lads that were on the under 21s who I'm sure he's looking at. But look, two great semi finals, a double header in the park as well. I know we were discussing there offline and this one's a double header on, and I think it's been broadcast live on TV as well. So I think there'll be a better contest than what we saw yesterday between Clara and Ballyhale. You know, I'd imagine the match will be a lot closer.
Is it next weekend or the weekend after, Brian?
I think it's this weekend coming.
Okay.
I'll just check now, but I'm fairly sure it's this weekend coming. I'll come back to you on that one.
Brian, did you think there was a couple of fellas stood out yesterday for Ballyhale? That I thought Richie Reid, centre back, was very good. Wing forward, is it Evan Shefflin?
Yeah.
And the corner forward as well, the fellow that played with Keogh on Allen final couple of years.
Owen Cody, Owen Cody. I mean, Evan and Owen have been in with the Kilkenny squad last year, kind of on the fringes training. They were core members of the under 21 squad. I think Owen is, you know, I mean, you can see the talent he has, you know, even when the game is typical Ballyhale, the game was done and dusted, and he just a turn, the way he took control of the ball and turned all in one motion.
Yeah.
Completely took the defender out of it. And most players would stick the ball over the bar. No, he went for the top corner and nearly pulled it off. And Evan Shefflin, obviously, look, you can't beat the breeding, you know, it's, you know, he's a super hurler. He's been, you know, so consistent for Ballyhale, you know, for such a guy at such a young age. So those two, yeah, for sure. But, you know, throughout the team, I mean, they've always offered, you know, great service to Kenya. And the thing that really struck me with Ballyhale was the last number of years, they've had five and six guys in there, the Kilkenny team, which is a huge, you know, for a club then to lose five or six guys, you know, when you were trying to have training sessions, particularly for a rural country club. You know, and you're trying to run training sessions, organize challenge matches, and you're missing five or six of your best players. But they just seem to be able to manage it. You just get on with it. And then when these guys come back in, there's no issue, you know. And yeah, you mentioned Richie Reid, who's slotted in centre-back now that Mick Fenley's retired. Richie obviously was there for years as the sub-goalie. But, you know, you can see, look, accomplished hurler in his own right. He's a super distributor of a ball.
And the other thing that struck me yesterday was the physicality of the game. And I suppose we've seen an awful lot of games being streamed now live all year and a different standard of refereeing. But I suppose there was a right house schmazzle in the second half now. And I think there was one of the wing backs, was it Adrian Mullins' brother? I'd say came in for a fair bit of treatment. I think there was about five or six fellas at top of him at one stage.
But Mark, but before I go to you on that, Brian, my own club. we were playing in the Senior B semi-final and fucking 4 points up coming down into injury time as well, and we're brought to extra time. A lot of refs playing for this extra time. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, look, we were beaten by our old rivals in the market anyway. But lads, at half time, the score was 12 points to 11. And of that, 12 of those were frees that were scored now. Now, I wasn't there because I was trying to watch the Ballyhale game and I'd have missed it. But, like, that's not frees out of the full back line and other frees like that. Now, I counted 7 frees in the first half between Ballyhale and Clara, and yeah, 3 of those were technical frees. 1 for steps, 1 for a ball picked off the ground, and 1 for a dropped hurley for a hand pass. So they dropped a hurley for a hand pass. So it was only 4 frees blown. Like, I mean, for me, it's a ferocious contrast.
Yeah, and they look like we saw the Glenn and the Bears game earlier on this year where Rob Downey was sent off, got a red card for the slightest little poke. And you see the fullback Galvin, I think, and TJ Reid, they were, you know, getting fairly well acquainted yesterday. There wasn't even a side of a card. And I mean, this definitely does a different standard of refereeing in Kilkenny to most other counties, I would. And then there's a general respect amongst the players that they don't go over the top. And that's probably happening other places where a little bit of niggle starts, then it becomes something where the referee has to deal with it.
Yeah.
But just does a big difference, Brian.
Yeah, like there was a tweet floating around there during the week. I think it was a Monaghan were playing down in Tip, and the cornerback came across and gave the corner forward, whoever they were playing against, a great shoulder, and just in the last play of the game. And, you know, there was people commenting on the fact like, that the ref didn't give it, you know, you'd see that as giving us a penalty, and God, your man would probably be sent off. And it was just great time shoulder, flattened him, dispossessed him, cleared him off the field, game over. And, you know, I think, like, a bit of common sense as well. Like, those couple of instances that you mentioned, there was nothing in them. Like, even Mullins, you know, the Mullin getting thrown to the ground, okay, you know, there's a bit of a shamaz. It was frustration out of Clara because they knew the game was gone away from them. They just, you know, they had to try something, you know. And, you know, look, if you want to hit TJ, TJ's well able to mind himself. There's nobody, you could see him, he was laughing at your man. You know, there was no issue. There was nothing terrible about it. It was a couple of lads throwing shoulders, squaring up, looking at each other, and then laughing, and a bit of verbals. And that was it. And as you said, it didn't get out of hand. It just moved on. The ref came on and said, lads, cop on, get on with the game. And that was it. So I think it's if it gets out of control, you know, and I think in those situations there's enough respect that, look, right, we'll try and start out next time the ball comes in or whatever, but that's it, move on. And as you mentioned, Dale, like the couple of frees that we're giving away were more kind of technical frees, which, you know, is fine. You can't, you know, more often than you can't really dispute them, but look, we're all hurling lads. We just want to see the game flow. You never want to see any dangerous play, obviously. But more often than not, it is a physical game, and I think that was some of the kind of conversation that was going on online, was that we're running the risk of the physicality being taken out of the game. So it's getting that balance right. And I certainly didn't think there was anything, you know, during the game that we saw that warranted kind of any further action.
No. I thought it was massively physical, but fair and sporting. And it's no different to the Ballyhale Tullerone game that was televised as well at the start of the year. That was ferociously physical as well, but fair as well.
Yeah, and look, I can only speak from my own experience, but, you know, we mentioned down the years playing them, and obviously the Village would have played Ballyhale, and they were the team to beat, and they would have got hot and heavy for sure, you know, and you know the key guys. But look, at the end of the day, when the whistle went, you kind of just had to park, you know, you just park and you move on, and that probably came from the top down in terms of what was laid out in terms of our training sessions, etc. But yeah, like, you know, when you've got lads that are ultra competitive, you know, your Tommies, your Jackies, and Henry's and all these guys, you know, when they're going toe-to-toe wearing their club jerseys, they're not going to take a backward step. But once it's done, it's done. And, you know, thankfully, more often than not, you don't see too much kind of going overboard, certainly within the Kilkenny county. That's not, you know, from my own experience anyway. But, yeah, it was a good championship match.
It kind of reminds me of, we got a meeting, myself and Richie Stakelam, when we were with Dublin with Joe Schmidt one time. And he told us that he was kind of overseeing the different standards in the provinces, with, say, Munster, Leinster, Connacht and Ulster. And that the style of play would be kind of not dictated by him, but that he would be encouraging them for the sake of Ireland, that they would play in a certain way. I'd say there's a bit of an overlord thing in Kilkenny as well, that this is the way it should be refed, lads, and this is the way we're doing it here.
It must be great to have those sort of resources that you can bring Joe Schmidt into the camp for now.
I'll tell you a good one about it to make it fast. Richie knew some fella that knew him. I think it was your man Carney, who was the team manager, and Joe's obviously. And Joe says, yeah, I'll give him an hour. He says, you know. So next thing, Richie said, Schmidt is going to give us an hour. Jesus, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I said, 5:30 at his office, which is up down near Lansdowne Road, like, where it's 5:30. Jesus. I'll tell you, yeah, it was a bit of an eye opener, right? Yeah, he gave us an hour. He gave us an hour and he proceeded to milk us about what we were doing. Like all the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Brian, I was going to say, before you move away from Ballyhader, Adrian Mullen, obviously, who's the making probably one of the better forwards in the game, I'd say, into the future. Is he gone for the year? Like, will we see him in a Kilkenny shirt possibly in maybe October, November?
Yeah, there's talks that, his recovery is coming along really well. I've heard from the conversations I've had here, he's certainly putting the work in, that's for sure. And I know one of the lads saw him in the gym there recently. He's looking fit, you know. There's murmur, you know, there's talks that there's a potentially you could see him in the black and amber, you know, later in the year if things keep progressing as they are, which would be super, you know. But again, with these type of injuries, it's really until you get onto the pitch and start moving, you know, and doing kind of, you know, full contact, you know, have any reactions. But
he'd be some addition, huge, and even for a better belly here, we'll have him on that. And the last thing for me is, we just have a small little accumulator going on there between us all, right? And I stuck O'Loughlin Gales into for a bit of value for the Kilkenny Championship. So I'm looking for a bit of inspiration here before I go, or a bit of confidence behind the O'Loughlin Gales camp.
Yeah, well, TJ, I have no influence on it now because my days are done now trying to stop Ballyhale and the village and the borough and these things. But yeah, look, I mean, genuinely, like I was doing a bit for the local radio there earlier on, you know, maybe a month or two ago, and the three teams I kind of thought would be there in the melting pot, obviously Ballyhale, and I felt the borough and the Loughlins. Obviously, I'm probably looking through rose-tinted glasses with my own club, but I felt, if you look at Dixborough, I saw one of their games, I was really impressed with the way they were moved, the way they're hurling, the athleticism that they have in their team and the hurlers. And I thought, looking at the guys we have, I thought we have to be there in the mix. So look, it either, you know, and obviously the village are the village, you know, they're always there, you know, they're hard to beat and they have this swagger, you know, they're one of the few teams that go up against Ballyhale and there'll be no inferiority complex or no fear. But TJ, I think I saw the boys playing the last day. They look good. There's areas for improvement for sure. But look, Paddy and Hugh are flying it. They're really kind of, you know, the strength. When you have an inter-county, two inter-county players, full back and centre-back, and Paddy driving forward, that adds a lot of kind of confidence to the team. And, you know, we have a lot of guys who have been in there hurling with Kilkenny, with the seniors, just getting experience. So, yeah, no, I think it's worth, you know, it's worth a punt anyway for sure.
Thanks, Brian. That's enough for me. That's great.
You ring me in a week, going, and that match is on this weekend. That match is on this weekend. The two of them, Dalo.
Saturday doubleheader there. Larry sent us a message through there as well. Like,
yeah. Don't be ringing me TJ Sunday, giving out to me now if things go wrong.
I've been already doing.
Yeah, Brian. Of the four accumulators that we've done and we've agreed to share, if they click, two of them have gone down already, including my own. And Larry's on the Tipperary Hurling Championship. Aerobe Nina, in my case, bookies favourites after their huge win against Turles. And in Larry's case, Newport, beaten by Owen Kelly, age 39 or 40.
That last minute tackle you were talking about, Brian?
That was the one.
I know Paul Curran was hurling it anyway because he was in the clip, so it could have been. I'm not sure. Was it the senior grade? But yeah, it's his right. Well, the omens are not good. That's what you're saying, Jalo.
Well, we the two big punters like are still standing. So and myself and Larry are in on a quarter.
I can't even want to say the two knowledgeable fellas. Is that what you're saying?
Oh no, the two big punters go there, I believe. TJ, it was the business end in Galway. Kicked off and you got your business done. I played my tenor and I watched you behaving yourself on the sideline, even though the row just before half time was very near you.
It was very near me, Dilo, yeah. Look, two quarterfinals played in Ballinasloe on Saturday, yeah, and two on Sunday. So Thomas's and Capitagal coming through and they happened to draw each other then and they play each other in the semi final. And I played the tenor for the two games on Sunday, Dilo, watching the other opposition. And then as Murphy's Law would have it, we drew Capitagal. But the two games on Sunday were very good. Loughrea, very good.
You'll get that tenor back, though.
Well, as you know ourselves, they're all expensive on Barton's. Loughrea, very impressive again against Mellows. I had a good win. And I suppose for me, the real, I suppose, piece of form to pick up was Turlough Moore. Really, really impressive yesterday evening against Sarahs. Did a great win. They won by 5 in the finish, but Sarahs got a goal there in the second half. So they were 8 up, hurled a storm in the second half. So, Turlough Moore, big danger coming down the track. But look, we can only play what's in front of us. So right now, in 2 weeks' time, looking like probably Sunday week, Thomas's will play Capitagal and Turlough Moore will play Loughrea in the other semi.
Right, so you've deflected from St. Thomas's there very, very cleverly. What I want to say from watching it there is it was a tactical kind of game. I thought your move of Fintan Bourke back to full back was a superb success. He was an absolute man of the match, I felt, back there for you.
Yeah, real powerful, strong defender. Brian was talking about Colin Finlay earlier on about the strength of him in full forward. And look, I suppose with Shane Cooney at 6 and Fintan at 3, there's a really strong spine in the team. And it's working well for us. And look, there was plenty of activity there in the last 5 or 10 minutes, and Fintan came out with a load of them. Yeah, played very well. But look, good win for us. I wouldn't say it was anything more than business-like, Dillo. It was a win that you take in a quarter-final. We certainly have work to do. We certainly have improvements to make. Would that performance be good enough to win a semi-final? I doubt it. So, look, we're back in the training ground this week. It's 2 weeks. And like most club teams, the whole focus on it, matches coming thick and quick every week or every 2 weeks. It certainly helps because for the last number of years, the Galway County final has run out to, I think, go in the middle of November and just drives on for ages. So this is coming nice and quick. So we get back in the training ground this week and look forward to semi-final. We have improvements to make, Dillo.
Are you out next again, TJ?
No, it's so it looks like it'll be two games will be on. I'd say in Athenry, probably Sunday week. I would say that like every other county, those four teams, like to be honest, semi-final day in Galway, right? The two semi-finals are played in Athenry. I don't know if you guys have played in Athenry. It's a Coliseum-like effect. Right? Semi-final day in Galway is just unreal atmosphere, great tension, usually two really competitive semi-finals. The last couple of years has been brilliant. Packed house. And I'd say maybe the Galway County Board are hoping or maybe really wishing for some sort of reprieve maybe this week from the government and NPHET that they might be able to have some numbers at the game.
And yeah. Is there football next weekend so in Galway, TJ?
I don't know anything about football, Mark.
You know that Dahi Burke will be playing for Corofinda.
Yeah, they don't play football in St. Thomas's there. So yeah, no, it's been every second week in Galway, Mark. So there will be football next week, and then there's the following week is the Hurling semis. Yeah.
Okay. TJ, just that one thing I noticed, performed superbly and probably the highest rated fullback in the country, Dahi Burke, playing midfield for Turlough.
Yeah, and it was midfield for him there for last year as well. And you know, Turlough, the way they play the game, they kind of try and move the ball through the lines, try and keep possession as good as they could. They have some like kind of Walsh and the Loftus is there, some really, really tasty forwards. So the way they play, Jamie Holland sitting in the pocket there in the back. So they have a very, very strong group of players. I think Turlough Moore are actually in the intermediate semi-final in Galway as well. That'll just give you the strength of the squad that they have. And their second team is in the intermediate semi-final. So, a lot of players. But, yeah, Dahi has been playing midfield for them. Like, Ronan Burke plays at fullback. So, obviously, they had that position covered. That gives Dahi the option to play. And at the start of the second half yesterday, if anybody wants to watch it, Dahi Burke was pushing forward. And he got two, I think, of the first 3 points in play at the start of the second half. So, the man can score too.
Yeah, and just, I suppose it was a bit of an eyebrow-raising one. Loughrea scoreline. Mellows just kind of out of gas or look tired or that or
yeah, like Mellows probably won the scene.
Loughrea haven't brought back Johnny Maher or anything, no?
No, not yet. But to be fair to Mellows, I suppose they've been in the last 3 county finals and this was their 3rd week in the bounce as well. Like they had their last group game, they went to the preliminary quarter final and then the quarter final. So it just looked like as if that 3rd week in a row had that sort of an effect on Mellows. They didn't seem to be at the pitch that they normally are at. Like, and you know, I mean, they tried hard, but just couldn't get the scores, get themselves back in the game. Now, I don't want to deflect it from Loughrea at the same time. They got some lovely scores, you know, like they had 19 points probably on the board and got about 50 minutes, like, which is fair score. And so, yeah, impressive enough from there. So, look, competitive semi-finals coming down the track, won't be a lot in it. as I said, that the double header probably coming down the track and that's in Rye, so plenty to play for.
Yeah, and Capitagle, like you have to say, for a team that would have traditionally maybe been junior even, up and won intermediate and now to be at the business end in Galway is great going by them, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I think Capitagle, to the best of my knowledge, have been beaten in the last three county semi-finals. So this is going to be their fourth semi-final in a row. So can you imagine if you were in the Capitagle? And I think it's the same group and the same management team as well. So 4 years in a row, you'd be kind of saying, let's get this hurdle jumped. So yeah, that's going to present its own problem for us.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And look, lads, I suppose moving on to tip, you know, I suppose two very disappointing scorelines, really. The Saturday evening game, I streamed that one. I'm owed a fortune in expenses of somebody, but I don't know who. But
are you saying that the Irish Examiner now should be starting to go to all the other counties and do the free live streaming?
Well,
in
fairness to Clare, they showed a few games free. Now the streaming has been a bit hit and miss, all right, but they showed a few games free, but not. Yeah, yeah, they should. I think the local papers and places maybe should look at it, even at that, because the Cork thing is unreal, to be fair.
It is definitely. I couldn't believe that there was 24,000 people watched the Midland and Douglas game. That's a massive, massive number. Yes. I mean, and I definitely think the live streaming, I hope the clubs will take it on board themselves and start live streaming, because there are a lot of, we'll say, the elderly people that have stopped going, we'll say, to the city to watch matches and stuff like that, because they can't get parking near the field. It's an hour to get there, an hour home. But if you can pay your fiver or whatever it is now, it's free, obviously, in Cork, but I said it will be charging maybe into the future. But if clubs can get together and pay 100 quid or 125 quid between them to live stream a match back to their older patrons, I think, in the villages and towns, I think it's a massive thing going forward.
Some of those local commentaries have been very funny and very good as well. Like, kind of few of them on Twitter. So you do get that special effect. The other thing too is what I saw yesterday is the quality of the two in Galway were just really, really good. And it's great to be able to sit back and, I suppose, anybody sitting at home now with a smart TV on a Sunday there to be able to watch your club. I do agree with Mark there. It's brilliant. Look, most counties wouldn't have the financial resources that Cork would have, but maybe down the road when there's a bit more kind of fairness and handing all the stuff out and all the money out, a bit like Dublin, yeah, we might have free streaming in places like Limerick and Clarendale. All right?
Yeah, bang on, TJ. And I give credit where it's due here to the Antrim County Board on Facebook. They streamed their semi-finals live from Dunsilly in Belfast yesterday, and I sent you on a picture there that I just took from my own phone. The crowd that was there must have been pushing the 400 total anyway for one side of the field. But geez, lads, two epic games and the two city clubs. And I know all Antrim Gaels would love to see Belfast coming back as a force in hurling. But just so unlucky, O'Donovan Rossa and St. John's. John's beaten in extra time and Rossa beaten had been a point up and conceded 2 points in injury time, I think.
Was one of those games, Anthony, was there 11 minutes of injury time in the game at the end?
I never saw the likes of it in my life, Mark. Like, I know there's injury time now with the water breaks, and there was an injury or two, but Jesus, 11, 41 minutes he blew it up like, you know. Like, John's were ahead, then Lochiel got ahead, and it seemed to me to be a bit of an injustice. And it seemed to me he nearly waited for Johns to get an equaliser in, because he might have felt he heard, like, is this a bit of a, there's so many of these extra times now starting to occur. Like, I mean, I watched Clare Intermediate semi-final yesterday, and I'd have no axe to grind or skin in the game in either of the two clubs, Smith O'Brien's Killaloe and Cora Finn. Two good hurling clubs, you know, to be two good crowds and a lot of footballers playing as well for Cora Finn, like Jamie Malone and Keane O'Dea, be well better known as Clare footballers, but they got a free to win it well into injury time. Cora Finn, now a chance to win it would have been a tough free over on the sideline, but about 7 seconds later, when the Shamazel was kind of cleared about 15 yards away, a Cora Finn lad kind of dunted a Killaloe lad who was running up the field, whether he was running to go back up for the puck out or whatever, like, thinking it'd be allowed. Next thing, linesman put up his flag, called the ref, and the ball was thrown in. And as soon as the ball was thrown in, he blew the whistle extra time.
Oh, my God. Like,
there's no way I could tell you. Now, book your man that gave the dunt, fair enough. or put him off if he had to be put off. Yeah. How the free could be overturned and it nothing to do with two players involved in the free, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I just think there is a little bit of a tendency at the moment, you know, and I'm wondering, and coming near the business end in a lot of the championships, will we see more of the dreaded penalty shootouts as a result?
Yeah, no, what's happening there, right, is at the moment, what seems to be standard is in the first half, the referees are playing about 33 minutes. They're allowing for 2-3 minutes, what about to play 33 minutes? In the second half, then, they're assuming that there's a number of subs made, even though there might be maybe only one or two subs made. Then they're just making that assumption and they play 66, 67. The two things I would say is, right, is psychologically in a dressing room, we have spoken about it, is that, you know, if you're coming into the 56, 57 minutes of a game now and you kind of, the clock says there's 2 or 3 minutes left, there's actually 10 nearly, right? So it can have a big difference. So if you're 2 or 3 points down, rather than that panic setting in, there's 10 minutes to play. So that's going to be a factor for coaches. But the timing, and I know we've spoken about this in the past about the referees, the second thing I would say is, when I'm involved in the 14s, right? When we play a match at the end of training, right? And you try to pick the two teams even, right? Then one team, you're going to say, oh, Jesus, I have to go 3 goals up, right? Trying to make it competitive, right? Then you start playing with the team that's behind, whatever, right? I think that there's a sense of that in the referees. If you watch games going down the stretch, right? If your team is 3 points down, right? You will get a free that little bit handier than the team who's 3 points up. You have to work for that a little bit more. And definitely, right, if there's only 1 point in it, everyone in the crowd around the grounds, he's going to make a draw this anyway. It's nearly in the mindset now at this stage. And I know maybe referees are getting a bit of stick this morning, but that professionalism has to come into play. It's either a free or it's not. And that brings us to puck outs, right? Some of the stuff that happened in Galway was just bonkers that I've seen. Some of them let the quick puck out go. Some of them don't. Some of them let it go on a wide. Like the rule at the moment is you can go if the ball is wide. You have to wait for the referees not to score, but you could get anything on a given day.
I've thought that has been noticeable. Wow. And I've said it to one or two refs that I was covering matches, doing commentary, that you blew back there for a quick puck out. That's not been done since we came back from the COVID.
Yeah.
And we were just laughing about it, myself and the ref, like. But I think that has been very noticeable.
Yeah, I think it's interesting as well. And you know, if all things were equal, we'd probably be all on here talking about inter-county matches and the way things are shaping up. And obviously, I haven't been exposed to so many club matches now. And for the different counties, you know, we're all watching, you know, the Limerick and the Galway matches and the Cork. And, you know, Mark mentions the difference in terms of, I suppose, within the Kilkenny club hurling and the physicality, you know, which is different. You know, you can see the different styles within the different counties because you're seeing it at the club level as opposed to the elite, you know, at the inter-county level. But you're seeing the difference in terms of the refereeing as well and interpretation. And it's not the same panel of 5 or 6 referees that we're used to at inter-county level. You're seeing all the local referees and, you know, they're not, I suppose, they're not getting the training or support that you would get at like inter-county level and the assessment and the reviews, etc. So you're seeing quite a bit a broader variance in terms of their interpretation of the rules and times and etc. You know, and
guy, you are Hoggy, but there's a few of them I've seen that I'm saying, why aren't we seeing them at inter-county level as well?
Yeah. Well, it works both ways, you know. But again, some of the guys, you know, and maybe someone makes a great flick, you know, the hurl, and this was because it's a clash of a hurl. It's like a slap down of a hurl, free out, and you know, or as you say, moving, reversing the decision, and giving a throw in when it should be just a free, and you know, these kind of things, and you're going, Jesus, you know. But yeah, at the same time, you see some referees and they've done a great job and let the match flow, and there's been no issue. So it's just interesting when you see it across a broader, I suppose, landscape. You know, not just the 7 or 8 counties and the referees; it's across all the club matches that.
I think Brian, you're making a very valid point there, and one of the things, if referees are to improve, is actual continuous assessment. And there is no assessment at club level majorly in Cork, certainly at this moment in time, where, you know, a fellow refereeing a junior and intermediate or a senior match for that matter is called in on Tuesday night, and you know, there's 2 assessors or 3 assessors that have been at the game and said, look, you blew for X, Y, and Z, and you allowed a sharp puck out, you didn't allow a sharp puck out. And if there is an assessor there in the background, that actually will smarten up a referee very, very fast. I mean, I have a buddy of mine who refs in the lower leagues in the soccer, and there are 3 assessors at every match. And on the Tuesday after the match, he'll get a written statement of his performance for the game. Now, if a fella is serious about improving as a referee, and he knows there's 3 assessors there at every match, he'll have to improve. Because if you're making the same mistake on a consistent basis, well, you're going to be out of a job.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's a balance because I think we've been here complaining about assessors as well at some points in the inter-county, you know, and the way refs are not being allowed to ref, you know, and I suppose you know, one of the rest I always enjoyed hurling under was Brian Gavin, who kind of didn't really listen to anyone, any assessors. He just refed it as he saw the match and let it flow more so. But I do take your point, Mark, that in terms of a certain level of standardisation. But look, there hasn't been any, as far as I can remember, anyway, in any of the matches I've watched, any kind of really blatant, horrendous decisions that have cost a team. It's just interesting just to see the kind of the variance. And just even from a hurling perspective, just, you know, the way the match is being played in say, in Tipperary or in Cork, you know, compared to the style, the way teams are laying out their teams. You know, even in the Dublin County Championship, you know, and the way that, you know, counties are I suppose, the more fluid in terms of their forwards as opposed to the structure, dropping sweepers back. It's just, you know, it's just been interesting seeing those matches where you wouldn't have seen as many of them. You might only just see a county final, you know, other years.
And, you know, Hoggy, we know you used to like Brian Gavin. We were well aware of that fact. and we're not referee bashing, lads. I've been pleasantly surprised with the referee.
Yeah.
And that's what the point I'm making is, where are some of these guys that I've seen streaming games? And I thought, you know, even the couple of years I was involved with Kilmacud there in Dublin, geez, I thought there was a couple of very good young referees. And I was saying, why aren't they getting National League games at least? And now I'm starting to see them appearing. I think overall we're positive with the refs. It's just, as TJ, I suppose, it is kind of that human nature as well, though, that the ref is on display as well, right? And when we get these draws and these dramatic extra times, it was like who was playing. And I mentioned, we'd say, Smith O'Brien's and Cora Finn. Smith O'Brien's and Cora Finn, extra time. Killaloe won it in extra time. Just who was reffing that, lads? That was a great game. Like, there's a little bit of that as well that I suppose we all had as players as well, that you wanted to be, Dillo, you know, having a great game. Like,
would you take time after referee?
Oh, definitely.
Like going down the stretch, right? The referee's under serious pressure here to make the right calls. Like, in a really heated pressure cooker, right? 1 point up, 1 point down, right? Trying to make the right call, right? And then he's trying to decide, because you know yourself, right? A team goes a pint up, right? And it's a puck out. Am I giving them one more chance or not, right? Like, that's a difficult call for a referee in the pressure cooker. So maybe, now who would do it at a club game? Would you give it to one of the linesmen or what?
Yeah, I see the whole logistics. We all talk like this black card in the football now. And I've been at a couple of club football games because where I'm living, the local boys are in the semi-final Saturday of the intermediate. And I went to their first two rounds before we were locked out. Whether we'll get in this weekend, I don't know. But you've seen the black card, and you know, your man has gone to the sin bin then for 10 minutes. You're saying, yes, this is going to be tough. But what it is forcing is, like, I don't know, will we ever get to the case like junior soccer in Cork, where all the money is, obviously, where we have three assessors at each game?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Unbelievable, boy. Unbelievable, mate. Yeah, boy, how's it going?
John Delaney's from Alpharetta.
Just three assessors there watching your kid.
So, Dalo, what we've taken from this call is there's loads of money in East Cork for the golf, there's loads of money in junior soccer in Cork, and there's loads of money for the streaming of live senior hurling matches in Cork.
You've got it in one, Brian. You've got it in one. Yeah,
and the stadium.
And the stadium, of course. Yeah.
And we have in the Bob.
Yeah, that's and horses that have been set up for Galway or Limerick in a couple of weeks, and Mayo's and county, like, but they always have the poor mouth at the end of the day. Yeah. Like, yeah. But come here, lads, back to those Tipperary semi-finals. I suppose we didn't see the score lines coming, like, and like, sport is amazing, lads, isn't it? We were here last week, we Ken Hogan with us. Now, the one thing I will say about Ken's assessment of going into the weekend was that Loughmore, Castellini are a great club. Like, he was strong on that. He said they're big day performers. And we were raving about, because Ken had started earlier on with us, tipped Turles. There was something about Turles that we're going to give us. Larry's still going and we're going to give it one. And then Jake Morris liked to destroy Turles on his own, 3-7 to a pint at halftime. Yeah. And then Jake misses, freeze in front of the goal, a handy enough chance of a goal that he put wide, and then gets a red card out of pure frustration. A very young player and a very, very talented player now. And it wasn't just Jake. Nina, you know, Barry Heffernan was injured and had to come off, and Hugh Maloney was ruled out before the game. But an amazing lads in 7 days.
They went from the heights of beating Tullamore Sales, probably the favourites for the championship, to then, I suppose, all you've mentioned there about Jake and the other lads and stuff like that, but it just shows you how fickle the whole it can be, and I suppose they're still a very young team as well. And I know there's a couple of lads down there, like Ewan Maloney and stuff like that, but the big thing is that Lockmore, Castlelaney, what a club. And Ken touched on it last week. He said, well, if it's hurling or football, it doesn't matter to them. They'll put down the hurlers to go footballing and vice versa. And they're still involved in the football as well, Anthony. So,
yeah, Clonmel in the semi-final, yeah?
No, I suppose that will be difficult because Clonmel, I think, would be favourites to win that championship. But they'll be giving everything there, like, you know. Or my Rovers, I think, is in the semi-final. Yeah, yeah.
We've been corrected by the tip man there that follows the football as well. I didn't realise Temple Derry followed the football there, Larry. Fair play.
But I suppose it's the McGraths, like the Noahs and the Bryans and the John McGraths. And they were outstanding as well the other night, like.
Yeah, not just them, though, in fairness, but I have to touch on, and I want to ask you about this, Hoggy, now, and I want to, like, see, you've gone a good while now, Hoggy, so you can tell us, like, this, right?
Right.
You, John McGrath, playing 11, like, and I think Liam Sheedy will be licking his lips as well at this, like, you, John McGrath scoring 6 and play, 6 and freeze, I think it was, or 6 and 5, and, like, he didn't play as your 11, and Barry Heffernan, now, who I will give him to his credit, was carrying an ankle injury, very obvious. But he sat. No, yeah. You were a good man to sit. Let's say, like, you protected your full back line. Yet that was tactics. Yeah. You didn't do tactics, but funny enough, you always found yourself around the 45.
We won't go down that rabbit hole.
But look, like, Nina seemed to have no plan for John McGrath if Barry was going to sit and protect. Like, I mean, like, I have to ask you, like, what way, you needn't tell us the ins and outs or the individuals, but obviously you had guys, and geez, I probably tried it myself a few times, guys to play off you. And was it a midfielder to pick him up? Was it the opposite centre forward? Because if you give John McGrath that kind of space, John McGrath put the ball over the bar or set up a goal.
Yeah, and like, it's never a hard and fast rule, Dalo, because, I mean, what you do if you're marking Tony Kelly at centre-back is very different to what you'll be doing if you're marking, you know, a very different style of player who maybe can't put a ball over the bar from 100 yards, you know, go pick up a ball in his own half-back line and run at you. But more often than not, I mean, primarily, it's your two midfielders in your half-forward line, really, you know. You want to get bodies, as many bodies in around that area of the field as you can. You know, and there's different examples. Different teams do it, like, with a big Cork and would have played against Niall McCarty, who would have dropped out, you know, and would have been a primary ball winner for the lads and would have dropped out. And do you want to follow him? And then you leave a big hole, you know, and then, you know, come up against Watford and they have. But if you're going to sit in the pocket, you're very reliant on the guys in front of you. You know, you're very, and I suppose we were fortunate in that you had guys who were very disciplined, you know, like Fenno and Cha and Ricey there, who, you know, they knew their role. You know, it wasn't a case they were going up the field looking for their scores. They knew what their role was. And if it was a case that they had to pick up two players for a couple of seconds, you know, until another body could get there to support them, then they do that, you know. You know, and it's thinking on your feet, and, you know, there's, I can think of numerous examples, but it's not just a simple thing of, right, I'm going to sit in the pocket anyway, and it's up to the boys out there, or, you know, to pick up the man, you know, because at the end of the day, if John McGrath goes out the field and he picks off 3 or 4 points, very quickly people are starting to turn to the centre back and go, well, you could push out on him, you know, will you do, you know, what you, so, and sometimes it's you're trying to second guess him. I mean, I remember we went on to Cusick Park near the end of my career, and again, I think it was Tony who was playing centre forward, and, you know, again, the perception would have been, oh, he's going to sit in the pocket. And not saying it worked out or anything, but what I did was, well, I'm going to follow him for the first 5-6 minutes. Yeah. Just to try and throw him off a bit, because he's not going to be expecting that. Now, trying to follow that ladder on the field is easier said than done. But again, just making him think. And then as the match kind of settled down, you sit back into the pocket. But, I mean, you just can't. Like, Noel was the same. I would have marked Noel against Tip, like, you know. And, like, a guy with the wrist like that, you know, if a ball breaks anywhere from 80, 90 yards out, he's capable of sticking it over the bar, where some lads, you can let him off and you know where they're going to hit it is going to be in on top of you. So, you know, you do kind of have to read the game as it's panning out. And as I always say, look, if the first 3 balls come in and I end up clearing them, the pressure's on him to come in on me.
It's
a game of chess as well, to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, like, you know, when John McGrath's after doing that sort of damage, and Barry Heffernan was clearly carrying an injury, was he the right lads to pick him up? You know, would he be a better maybe put him out halfback and put a guy who was more mobile? They obviously had their idea at the beginning. No, we'll have Barry sitting and try and prevent any goals being conceded. But
yeah,
a lad of the caliber of John McGrath, he's just, you know.
Yeah, they had Dara Quinn, who would have played a good bit, nice bit with Tip, like, league games, and I don't know he ever really nailed down a championship spot, but a very good player. He was actually Nina's best player by a mile, I would say. Yeah. You would have thought he was more suited to that, especially with Barry injured. But I suppose, look at when you're down Hugh Maloney and then you're trying to. But well, I'd be interested in two boys' take on that as well. Sorry, Hoggy, just to finish. I think it has to be a kind of an element where you trust your centre back that you say to him, well, the centre back that's looking out at you saying, should I go or should I not? I think you're in trouble with him. I think your centre back that has to know that it's a bit of cat and mouse here. As you said, you went with Tony Kelly that day for the first 5 or 6 minutes as much to throw his mind and maybe even someone would pop you a ball and you could get a point.
Exactly, you know,
I think that has to be in the scheme of things. Do you know? And
Now he probably was totally oblivious to it. He probably didn't take a funk out of him. But like two of the guys I would have been very reliant on when I was doing that was our two wing forwards. So more often than not, it would have been Larky, and then maybe Conlon Felly might have come out, you know, over the years to do two guys. Not to, you know, obviously plenty of hurling, tons of hurling, but guys who would work their socks off. So all of a sudden, you have five bodies around that part of the field, and there was so much pressure put on backs clearing balls, and you know, I suppose different situations, you know, I can think of. But as a result of that claustrophobic pressure that players weren't used to, what do they do? The game plan breaks down, and they end up hitting the ball on their back foot. And if you're hitting the ball on your back foot down on top of us, happy days. That's all we wanted, you know. If you're coming out with your head up looking pinging balls, that's a problem then, you know, because I'm not marked. But if the ball has been cleared, so it's a huge, I suppose, credit to the guy, the forwards, you know.
And I think Brian has nailed it there. Like, two things for me. It depends who the personnel are, right? If you're centre-back marking a Joe Canning or you're marking John McGrath, for me, you cannot let those players free, right? If you're centre-back, right, and let's say you might have Alan Callaghan or Hoggy in the full forward line inside, right? Well, then you can't leave 40 yards space in front of them because you're going to be killed, right? So your centre-back has to sit, right? But what I will say is you have to credit the other guys in a lot more using John McGrath, what Brian said there, right? They're coming out, they're finding him every time, right? You know yourself, Dale, from being involved with clubs over the years, right? How many fucking branded cornerback or wingbacks, right? And you tell them the centre-back is coming off, right? And then he lumps the ball down to the number six box and the centre-back is there sitting on his own, clearing the ball back down, and then you're there and whatever few rims of hair you have left in your head, do you know what I mean?
I've told you this.
So you have to give credit to a lot more lads with the plan. They come out, they have the ball, they find him, but I suppose it comes down to a very simple brass tacks. If Nina had to replan this week, right, would they do something different, Mark? Whatever. Would basically they relook at the plan? I think they would. I don't think, for me, if I was planning this week, that I could say, okay, let John McGrath or Noel McGrath sit there on their own because those guys would kill you all day.
Yeah, and then there'd be a part of me that would be delighted to see John McGrath going as far away from the goals as possible. Like, so, you know, we played with Joe Dean and like we never moved him out of the full forward line because we know if we left him in there for 62 or 3 minutes and we got enough ball in there at some stage, he would pounce for a goal.
He did it to me, but there, I think it was 2001 or whatever. I had him kind of under the cosh all day and then he just popped up for a goal. I think it was Sean O get a ball in from about 90 yards. He just knocked it into the net. Like, so yeah, fair point.
TJ, good forwards like that have patience and they'll wait and they'll wait and they'll wait. And the panicky forward is looking out to the sideline because he's worried that the manager's going to take him off because he hasn't got any score today. But when you have good fellas like Dean and the likes of the Ben O'Connors and those fellas, Richie Hogan, they'd wait and wait all day long because the manager would show confidence in them to leave him on. They were in the best two or three forwards. They weren't going to take him off because they knew the threat was always going to be there. And it's like Brian mentioned earlier on about Belly Hale. They never panicked when they were 3 points down against Tullerone in the first round and they walked the goal. And even the ball that was struck into TJ Reid that day, it was struck to his outside hand, to his left hand. And all TJ did was popped up and his own Reid had peeled off. And he actually didn't even hit the back of the net with the slipper. He just tipped the ball home nice and tidy. Just, I don't know, it's like we're seeing a lot of teams playing with sweepers now. And what the other team is actually they're pushing up their loose man up on them. So you have 7 on one side of the field and 5 at the other side. Now, Barry Heffernan was injured. That obviously caused a problem for them. He wasn't going to be able to travel. So that was, I think, the biggest issue, that he was probably in the wrong position for me. He'd have been better off maybe playing in maybe cornerback or a wing back and leave somebody travel with him, but or maybe not playing at all.
Yeah, I think, Mark, I've seen very few teams playing a sweeper now in the last maybe the games I watched. It's more like a deep line, kind of half back line, is what most teams are trying to keep their six backs together. Mm. What I've seen now in a lot of places is teams are nearly playing without a half forward line. Is it that's what's kind of the two half forwards are getting together in the middle third. They're trying to create a bit of space for inside. So the two things I would say is number one, that you can't go out against players of a real quality like John McGrath without a plan. You have to have some sort of a plan. And maybe if the Nina boys were here today, they might say, we did have a plan, but it didn't work, which is very, very true. I've been in that position too, by the way, right? And number two, I suppose, Dale, would be the whole psychology of it, right? Let's say your team has, like, you take Ballyhale this week, right? They're after coming off possibly a near perfect performance, right? Mm. Right? Like, how does Trent, the Tuesday night, how do you say to these guys, right, as we're preparing for a semi-final when they're just after coming off the perfect runs? So that's the difficult piece, I think, on a week like this.
Yeah, for sure. And look, the other caveat is, I suppose, that it is John McGrath. you know what I mean? Like, that's we often talk about TJ, and he's, we just have to say, like, Joe Kennings, and he's an elite forward, like, and not blessed with the most pace, you know, but... Talk about but great feet, which is a great, you know, you mightn't be blessed with the most pace, but geez, when you have feet like he has and a brain like he has and the skills, obviously.
But TJ made a great point there. Look, giving the ball to the guy in the best position, and there's no point having a lad like John McGrath with a license to trap out and pick up ball if you're blowing the ball over his head into the inside forward lane. And, you know, how often do you hear, like, we're hit the ball into where you're winning? You know, you might have a corner forward who you can see is on his game, and the ball's just not getting in there. You're not delivering the ball in quick. You end up playing with the ball too much out the field. And by the time it gets in, it's too late. So, you know, and Ballyhale are the best at that. They'll poke and poke and poke, and they'll find a weakness. And once they find a weakness, they'll go for you. You know, that maybe a cornerback is maybe not in his game, or something like that. And that's what they do. And then they're clinical, you know, so.
And that'd be one of Cody's best traits for the last 20 years, and that he just kind of always ekes out that little weakness. And I mean, you can clearly see that in some of the other Ireland finals and semi-finals over the years.
Ask Seamus Hickey.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He seems to find him.
Yeah.
Humbled every ball on the top of him.
Yeah. But it's a fair point for Brian, as I said. You've got to have the plan. You've got to use the ball well. And if you've got a roving centre forward that's not picked up, and you pick him all day, the majority of centre forwards, they will hurt you, like.
Yeah, and the other semi-final lads, Kildangan back in the third final in 5 years. I suppose Drummond Inch had very little left to give after their... it seemed anyway, I didn't see it now, but they were leggy and they were tired looking, and Kildangan were fresh. Larry, might ask you there, do you think they're coming up against another seasoned warhorse now in Loughmore? Do you think that this is their year?
Should have been, yeah. They've been knocking on the door, all right, haven't they? Yeah, you would think it might be the. But will all these matches catch up on Loughmore on the road again next Saturday? The McGraths are playing, which they're all McGraths anyway. There, but they're playing week in, week out, so they'll be out again next Saturday and then the following week. But yeah, Kildangan are very strong, very even team. Yeah.
Yeah, Liam Sheedy'll be delighted to have it down to two. I think. It's a tricky one for them. And last year's one was the one they were really expected to win because Barisalie had been out of it for so long as well. They're coming up against the old team, a team that knows how to get it done on the big day now in Loughmore. I think it's an awful test for a team trying to make the breakthrough. It'll be a fascinating final. I absolutely think that that'll be one of the most... Obviously, they're the All-Ireland champions, so we have to say it'll be a great final, but... I think you have a very, very balanced Kildangan. And a bit like what you said, TJ, about Thurlock Moore, I see their B team retain their senior B status as well. So incredible depth of talent for a small parish. Like, it is incredible.
It's a great sign of a panel or the strength of a panel when your second team is pushing on as strong. You actually see there's more and more clubs around the county being able to do it. To have your second team be that competitive and nearly pushing for senior status is just an incredible sign of the club. Actually, Brian, Ballyhale, what way is their second team?
Their second team is junior. Actually, it's our second team is intermediate. We just got beat.
Okay.
We got beat. Yeah, so there's only three clubs in Kilkenny, I think, as far as I'm aware, have ever had a senior and an intermediate team. Glenn Moore back in the early 90s when they were winning Club All-Irelands with Hadley O'Connors and Titch Phelan, which is crazy for a club, for a rural club the size of Glenn Moore. If any of you know where it is, yeah. I don't. It's down there in the New Ross border somewhere. But seemingly at one point they had. And then the village had, GM Stevens had it at one point for about 3 years. But yeah, we won the junior last year, but obviously we weren't allowed to progress then into the interprovincials. So Conaghy Shamrocks went on and won the, we beat them in the final. So we're intermediate. We were beaten by Thomastown yesterday, who are favourites to win the intermediate. They'd be knocking okay. around. And then our seniors. But Ballyhale would have a junior side, you know. But again, just, you know, really good hurlers, you know, just able to turn out one hurler, two hurlers a year that step up to the senior grade, just yeah, keep yeah, fresh, yeah. you know.
Yeah, so that'll be lads one. I think that's cheese. Everyone will be looking forward to that. And I think from Lochmore's point of view, I know they have a football semi-final next weekend. It's my Rovers, I think, Larry, they're meeting. And they might be teeing up. That might team up for a final with Clonmel even. But I hope they come through injury-free. Like, it is a heavy schedule. You'd love to see both teams at full strength. Like, it, you would feel Nina with Barry, obviously, carrying an injury with Hugh Maloney out. Which is it's a very for a club like it's very hard, isn't it? When I even see, just to touch on, there was only one match in Clare. You had a quarter final that was delayed, but you had Aero Guinness turning over a kind of quietly fancied Fecal team to go back in now and meet Six Mile Bridge in the semi final. But the big thing from Aero point of view, from when they met Six Mile Bridge in the first round, is they now have David Reedy back from injury, and David Reedy was outstanding against Fecal yesterday. So the county man can be absolutely massive, really. And when you're down the county man, it's huge.
Yeah, just on the injuries there, like, I remember talking to the McGraths before about it. Like, I mean, they seem to play every week, no matter what way, you know, if they have niggles or whatever. Like, but I mean, Noel played in goals for the hurlers, like, when he was injured last year. Like, and John, when he was carrying an injury, wasn't allowed to kick the ball, but still played for the footballers. Like, he was told he's not kicking the ball, but you can catch it and you can lay it off, you know. But like, and he still played, you know. So I mean, fairness to them, they've great commitment to the club.
We'd a good few hurlers that played football under those instructions, Larry. It was nothing to do with injury, I can tell you. Don't kick it. Just play away, go as hard as you can, go as high as you can, but don't kick it, okay? that was the rule there.
That's the other side of it, Dale. It's great having matches every week, and, you know, we're even talking about the inter-county, you know, but the danger is, and particularly the club, it's so condensed, is you could be unfortunate. You pick up a one injury and, you know, a bad injury, and your whole season's over before it even gets started, you know, and it can have a big bearing on the championship as well. You know, the wrong one or two guys get to pick up knocks, and it changes the perspective on a match big time.
Yeah, and you don't have too much problems down there, Brian, with the dual stuff, like, but even in Clare now, we'll be gone massive, you know, with Bellier, all the Bellier lads, Tony Kelly, all play for Clondigad, who have been in, I think, two finals and a semi-final. But nearly both ways, they're gone. Cracklaw gone out of the hurling and are now in the football semi-final. And there's no real tie-up of dual players in Clare, which yeah. I'm looking forward to those semi-finals now next weekend as well. Limerick, TJ, you've the most mouth-watering semi-finals down there, but is your championship becoming a bit predictable? Not being critical now. But you can nearly say those four would be in the semi-final if you asked me last December.
Yes, you're 100% correct, Dylan. We would have picked them four. In fairness to Ballybrown, who were well beaten by the Pierce the weekend, the scoreline possibly doesn't do them justice, but they would have been by far the best of the Senior B teams, right? So there's, of the six teams in Senior A, Ballybrown were by far the six teams, and they're a good bit shorter than the Pierce. So we definitely have the best four. We have two great games in store. Paraswell and the Pierce, very tight one. And the Pierce chinned them in the final last year. I'm sure the Pierce will be out for revenge this time. You probably saw Paraswell the last day, Gillan kind of rested against Doon. And the other semi-final is Doon.
Well, just ask you about, TJ, you might know more than us. Gillan went for surgery the following morning after that match, I think, on the finger. Do you have any update for us for next weekend?
I don't. Obviously, the expectancy I do know is that he will play. So, because I think that was one of the prerequisites. You can imagine now, Kieran, if you were involved with a club like that, you probably wouldn't let him. I know that the bigger picture would be to be minding him for Limerick down the road, but Kieran would be minding his own little house here, kind of saying, I need him for these two games. So, I do believe he's going to play. So, massive addition to Paraswell, one of the better inside forwards at the moment. And then I was saying the other semi-final is another tight one to call, Doon and Kilmallock. Look, I've said before about Doon, they have really, really brilliant underage structure for the last 10, 15, possibly 20 years. They've been really good at minor under 21, picking up titles. They haven't won a senior, which is kind of hard to believe. Richie English is out with a long-term injury. I do know that Darragh Donovan went off injured after about 14 minutes. I don't know the nature of that injury, so obviously he would be key for them. But another, like, really, really good. So the four best teams, right? That's what you want, really, from a competition, is the four best teams. Really, really tight, and both of them on this Saturday night.
Yeah, and like you'll be saying, I know yourself and Shane Dowling nearly went fighting on television over Doon's underachievement or overachievement. But I was the commentator. I came down on your side. I would have felt they should have a senior landed at this stage. But Jesus, down Richie English, down Darragh Donovan, facing into a Kilmallock team that have swept all in front of them so far. It'd be a tall order for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Tony Cancelin back there, as we spoke already about in Kilmallock, and he's doing a great job. He has got them back in the zone, and like they had a great win over in the Pearsheik. So, this is a tall order coming down the track. But as I said, load of players in Doon. Load of players who played inter-county hurling over the last number of years. So, you know, they didn't start well yesterday against Liberties. I think Liberties played with the wind. I think it was about maybe 1-5 to 2 points, something after about 10 or 12 minutes. But they just turned that very quick, like a 9-out convincing winner. So, a lot of talent there in Doon. I'm sure they'll be able to make a statement. And as I said, too tight enough semi-finals to call now, Dillo. You wouldn't like to be wagering heavy on either side.
But I'll ask you to call them at the same time, though.
Yeah, okay, I was thinking that was coming all right. I think the Pearsheik overall are still favourites to win the county outright, right? And I do think that they will be able to make revenge for last year. I think with the forwards they have, Dillo, in a club team, right? Like Conor Boylan, Adrian Breen, Kevin Downs, David Dempsey, Peter Casey. Like for a club forward line to have that sort of resources up top. Like you know yourself, if you've been involved with a club team there, they might have one decent forward. They're trying to make things happen. They do play the game well. Will O'Donoghue, like, and keep going on Ron and Lynch, Mike Casey. So to me, they have the best players. I'm going to go from the Pearsheik on that side. And I think the loss of Richie English will kind of be a bearing for Doon. I give my neighbours Kilmallock a slight nod on the other side.
TJ, just one comment on the and thanks very much to your wife for giving me her login details to watch the live streaming on Saturday night.
It was only a tenner, Landers.
I told you we've no money down here.
You need 137 teams of the fucking golf.
Yeah, but you see, after the golf classic, though, the lads that came out with me, we said we go to Dungarvan, we spend a few quid in a restaurant, and while we were having the grub, I was watching the match as well. So,
oh, perfect. Yeah.
Thanks very much. But I thought it was noticeable the difference, the goals. Like you got the Pearsheik got no goal on Saturday night, and we're looking at Ballyhale, and I'm just looking at Ballyhale being the kingpins in Leinster, and the Pearsheik being a serious team down in Munster. I thought I was surprised that they didn't really go for goals the other night. It was all points they were looking for.
Yeah, no, fair point. The only thing I will say, Mark, is maybe on the outside it mightn't seem like this, but Ballybrown are a decent side and have been. Like, and Ballybrown were in this county final a couple of years ago, and you know they came up against a really, really good in the Pearsheik side. It's a fair point, I suppose. You'd like to see a team scoring goals, and when you're on top of a team, like, goals definitely make a big difference and they put them away. But
is the loss of one Shane Dowling a kind of a serious loss,
No doubt. Like, he's a big, big game player, and he's a big loss to them. But I still come back to the names rattled off there, Mark. They have a lot of quality there. It wouldn't be a concern for me.
Okay. Yeah, I've been watching it fairly closely. I think there's a bigger day in the well. Like, if Gillan is okay, I don't think Keane has hit top form yet. And I think if Keane Lynch can take over that middle zone, the fair half-back line with Burns, geez, that's a fair game, lads, isn't it?
If you're watching, just the point we spoke about earlier on, though, like Dermot Burns is guaranteed to sit in the pocket there. Like, so how many Pearson work the ball and use the ball? And it will be a game. There'll be a plan both sides there. And look, I suppose if you were playing the well tomorrow morning, Dale, like, who you put on Gillan is going to be key as well.
Yeah. Is David Dempsey, am I right? Send David Dempsey, will end up marking him, will he?
Marking who?
Would you be marking Dermot Burns, would he?
Yeah, well, I think last year in the county final, they put Peter Casey at centre forward for a while, and he got a good return out of it. So they'd have a number of possibilities that they could put in there. So usually
you'd be certainly putting a fella that could move on him now, like, because he the pocket all day long. Like.
Yeah, he will. And but it still comes back to the same thing what Brian spoke about earlier on. Is if you do that, you have to make sure the team buys into it and that they find him all day long. And that's how you punish that scenario.
Yeah, Hoagie, if you had a Peter Casey, little will-o'-the-wisp, deadly, like, you'd be relying on Mick defend to come back and meet him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You'd be looking at him, and that was the case a couple of times where you see a smaller guy in stature coming in, you know, I suppose big beanpole like me standing in the centre back, and say, we'll bring a small lad in there and we'll run him. They're going, oh, Jesus. So you know exactly what's happening, but so you're like, right, lads, let's make this a bit of a dogfight in here and see how much he wants it. But you mentioned Galan as well. Like, I just think he's class. Super. Like, I love watching him hurling. He's everything you want as inside forward because he's so bloody abrasive as well. He'll give it back to you if you want it, you know, but he's really clinical.
And, being another one himself and Mikey Casey to look forward to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I see enough in there. It could be anyway. We look forward to that. We'd be streaming. But Jesus, if everything's on the same time, we'd be in an office too. But, yeah, I suppose we'd have to have a quick look. It's getting towards the business end of the little all end. Shawny McGrath will be... He'll be jumping out of the box by talking about small centre-forwards.
Yeah. We bought a milk crate for him the last day there so he could stand up in it.
Himself and Fraggy. He's the big one each.
Yeah, I know.
Big weekend.
Big weekend, yeah. Massive weekend now from a hurling point of view. We're all football this weekend and the big names, Nemo, Castlehaven, the Bears, Duhallow are all through. And the funny Nemo thing
in
is...
Nemo are in our bit, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the human. Yeah, okay. They got Duhallow actually on that side of the draw. So Duhallow might be 4-1 now with him Achilles demise on the hurling side. So as a divisional team. But anyway, All the teams that are feeding into Duhallow are all still left in the junior and intermediate championship. So
that's good.
It'll have a big bearing on the UCC game this weekend, Anthony, because UCC playing the Pearshig. And I think Kilmallock, Paddy O'Loughlin playing Saturday night, so he'll be expected to play the following day. Montgomery is playing for Ballinacorty in Abbeyside on Sunday at 2:30, so he'll be making his way to Cork after that game. And it's something we mentioned the last day. This junior and intermediate hurlers are making up all the Cork-based players. They're all bearing the lad in goals. He's from Inniscarra, they're over the championship. Every other player is playing at the weekend on Saturday, whether it's junior or intermediate. So that's a big ask for UCC. You know, they'll be hot favourites to beat in the Pearshig.
Is there a kick in the Pearshig from the Hyden?
I don't know.
Must be awful hurtful, like being hammered by the Glen, like.
Yeah, Eddie Gunning is a big loss to them. He broke his ankle in training, so he missed out in the game against the Glen. And he had played on Hoggy 2 years ago and held him to a couple of points in playing. He's a big loss. There obviously is a game in the Pearshig, and they were in the semi-final of the county actually 2 years ago when Sean O was in charge of them, and they had a poor year last year. So it's hard to call that one, Anthony. UCC have the hurlers, right? But they will be tired. They won't be at full throttle, I would suspect, like, you know? So that's too hard to call. I think UCC will win it, but it would be great for the north side of the city and the Pearshig to get to the semi-final and get back there.
Right. The other two massive derbies then.
The other thing, these are quarterfinals. So just explain, there are three quarterfinals in Cork this weekend. The Glen are already in the semi-final because they were the top-ranked club team coming out of the group stages.
It took us about 3 weeks to figure it out, but we have it now.
I know. And now that we have a good structure in place after taking years to get it here, we won't want to be messing. So you'll be right up to speed now next year, Dale, on it.
That's it. Oh, I have it.
Two local derbies, you have SARS and Ernzone are on one side, and you have Blackrock and Douglas on the other side. So just the SARS have been very, very impressive this year. They're a very, very settled team. Conor O'Sullivan, Daniel Kearney in the back line. Danny's gone back from midfield to centre back. And then up front, Jack O'Connor, Liam Healy, they're the two main forwards up there. They're very, very settled and they put up big scores. But they're playing against Ernzone now. Ernzone in their three matches to date have gone down by 7, 8, 9 points and come back to try and win them. Now, they won two of them. Like Newtown Shandrum will be kicking themselves the last day because they were 5 points up with 6 minutes to go. 6 points up with 5 minutes to go. So I think Sales will actually win that. I don't think Ernzone's form might stand up But the big match of the weekend is definitely Blackrock and Douglas. It's a Southside City clash. It's on in Parky Cueve. The biggest question again for Douglas, can they keep performing? Like, there would be a question mark over down through the years about their performance, about consistency, but a lot of their main players made a decision to play hurling this year only. And their footballers, there's no fillers. They were beaten at the weekend, so they're out of football. But they may have one or two fillers to come back into the fold. But their hurlers made a commitment to all play hurling this year. So the Cadigans, the Turnbulls, the Shane Kingstons, they're the main men. Killian Donovan, a young lad. And some black players, Anthony, today. Michael O'Halloran, Niall Cashman and Alan O'Callaghan. Niall Cashman started centre back a fortnight ago for him. Michael O'Halloran came on with 10 minutes, and I'm led to believe that Alan O'Callaghan had his first contact training session over the weekend. So they were my outside bet at the start of the year, Anthony, and yeah, I'm going to stick with them. And we'll just have to wait and see. But like Fergal Ryan is in charge of them in Blackrock, and John Brown is a selector with them. So okay. And you have Shane Brick in charge of Douglas as well, a fellow you'd have come across a few times before.
That's for sure. One of the greats.
Is the draw made for a semi-final, Mark, or is it open draw?
It is, yeah. The winners of SARS and Aaron Zone play the Glen. And okay. The winners of Blackrock Douglas play UCC in the Pier Strick. So I think a lot of people will say the winners of Blackrock and Douglas will probably go to the final, TJ, but the big thing with UCC is how tired will they be, yeah. And if they'll get over the Pearshick hurdle. They could be anything in a couple of weeks' time, because there's a lot of players outside of the county that are still involved in the county championships, and if they're knocked out and lads are back to college, they may be available to our semi-final spot if they get there.
And are we live streaming all the games?
Live streaming all the games of the weekend, Dale, yeah.
Great stuff. We look forward to hearing your dulcet tones there over the airwaves. One thing, lads. I know, Brian, you have to hit off, and we're thrilled to have had you. Looking forward to having you again. Crowds, lads. Jeez, like, we looked at that Antrim game, and like just talk that the pubs might be reopening soon. Thanks be to God till a few bob come in the door from the pub just beside me here. I'm not joking. You're the more lonesome I'm getting on Sunday evenings, looking out at the empty and darkness below there. But surely we can let a few hundred back in. We're coming. I know Wexford and Waterford went early with their hurling championship, Brian, but surely Nolan Park can cater for a few hundred people.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I've been at I've watched a few of the matches. I was down at one or two matches in Wexford, actually. I was just helping out with a club side down there, and at one stage there was an Arty Glory backed up against a wall, and we knew what was coming, and the match started and the back of it opened up, and there was about 12 lads standing in the back of it looking over the wall and at the match, like, you know. And we've all seen the photos of the lads hiding up trees and this, that and the other, just wanting to see a bit of hurling, you know. We're craving for it makes no sense. I mean, a blanket rule that it doesn't take into account the grounds, as you say, like, you know, no one allowed, you know, 200, 400 allowed into the Gaelic grounds. You know, you could let 4,000 into the Gaelic grounds and there'd be no issue at all. And I think, you know, the only concern might be people coming and leaving the match at the one time, but you can manage that as well and stagger it in terms of, you know, letting people out of different sections after the match. But, you know, and again, in local grounds, people are sensible, you know. Again, it's, you know, with these club matches, you know, you're going to be going with the people you're living with, you know. Keep your distance in the grounds. If you're wearing the masks, I don't see the issue. We've gone through the whole reasons before. You know, you can go to a restaurant, you can go to church and all this kind of thing, but you can't go into an open air field to watch your relatives, your nephew, your son or whatever, daughter, hurling the match. It's mad. And you go across the border and there's 400 allowed into a match, you know. So
400 and a bit with it, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know, 400 by the letter of the law, but you can be sure, like, we saw the photo you posted up, Dale. I mean, yeah. Look, it's hard enough at this moment in time, you know, in terms of the impact it's having on people's mental health and, you know, with, you know, particularly in the rural communities, you know, you know, it's been commented on the importance of the pub and the church and the Gaelic team, you know, the GAA. You can't go into the pub for a social drink. You know, we're not talking about luring pints into you or anything like that. For social, you know, interaction, the Gaelic club is the hurling or football club is the other big outlet. And not being able to go and see the matches, you know, you're in an open air space. I don't see the difference in walking down a high street in a town or down a local village and standing on a bank watching a match. And if you're concerned, you know, wear the mask or don't go to the match, you know. But yeah, look, hopefully, I think TJ mentioned it, hopefully Neffet and the governments, you know, are reviewing it, and we get some sort of reprieve. Although, you know, it might be too late for some counties at this stage, but I'd love to be able to go in and watch my club play the weekend in the county semi-final, but it might be too early for that.
Surely they'd have a fellow like you, they'll have one pass kept back. Brian, thanks a million. I'm conscious you have to hit the road and do a bit. Great to have you, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Absolute pleasure. Good to see you,
lads. See you, Brian.
All the best.
See you,
Brian.
Well, lads, on what Brian said there, lads, geez, wouldn't it be great if they made a call Wednesday?
That'll be important, Dello, for the team's pennant, because it's getting difficult for clubs. I know that they've been getting a little bit creative with stewards and Galway and stuff.
The amount of yellow jackets at your match. I never saw as many stewards in my whole life.
That's brilliant. Just be a little bit creative. But I think I just tried to listen to Ron and Glenn there, and their theory behind white decks is the mobilization of all these people going and congregating. It. I think if they set out some sort of a roadmap and a plan, like as I said to you, I've said it before, the racing in the UK this week, I think there's a crowd plan for Doncaster there on Wednesday, Thursday, right, growing from 3,600 up to about 6,000, whatever, I think, at the weekend. They have, I think, about 10 points made, like you have to wear a mask and you got to come from an area and stuff like. Put a roadmap together, the same as for the pubs, right? At least if people can buy into something and see it coming down the track. But I do agree with what you said there. Don't call this Friday evening and there's consternation about clubs playing Saturday. Can we get in? Can we not? Like, call it now. Put a plan in place. County semi-finals, county finals. As far as I'm concerned, the members and the people deserve to go.
Yeah, I don't know. Will they be listening to us here on the Irish Examiner Hurling podcast? But if we can get the word out there at all, Larry, maybe someone might hear us. Micheál Martin surely reads the Examiner there most days. But I will say this, Mark. Some of the optics from the Northern games don't look great, like in that the crowd are very much on top of each other.
Yeah.
Someone made a comment back. I put up the picture of the Northern thing on Meanwhile in Belfast. I said, you know, this fella that's standing on lorries outside the grounds in Ballinasloe and in the Hyde Park, I think. And shopping centres obviously are getting a different pass than we are in the GA, which is all wrong. We've been scapegoated. But at the same time, when we're in a big venue like, we'll say, the Gaelic Grounds, Cusick Park, Parkakee, wherever, Thurles, Nolan Park, that, like, just to put down a mark, and you can't, unless you're the one family, you just can't sit there.
Yeah.
Put over beside Johnny because you love having a pint with him afterwards, and didn't I tell you that fella was useless? And do you know that we'd have to social distance, wear masks, spread out. They're big stadiums, and there's no problem with 400 or 500 being in there.
Yeah. I listened to Ron and Glenn there the other night on the Late Late Show, and I felt that there was part of him that says there is something more, a little bit more positive coming down the track, and just be patient with us, you know. And that's what I'm really hoping, is that Anthony, it's all down to the numbers of new cases that are going to be announced during the week. And I think I'm positive enough that I think there will be something. And you know, I know now you're saying Wednesday, if it would give the counties a chance to mobilise with tickets and stuff like that. But I think if we got to go ahead on Friday, it's like everything, you'll make that effort to get the ticket, and you know, it creates another little bit of atmosphere. It's all debate, it's all discussion. Would I wait till 6 o'clock on a Friday night to be able to go to see my club play in the quarter final of a county? I would.
It'll cause plenty of confusion, though, Mark. Do you know anyone say, Dello, is who ultimately makes the call? Is it NPHET? Is it the government? Does the GAA have an input? Is it a combination of all three? Or does it just solely rely on the government to make this call?
It's the government, as far as I can figure out.
Yeah, it's the government. NPHET not giving a recommendation. Yeah.
They're kicking a lot of it back to this is what NPHET recommended. So,
well, in that case then, with speaking about the Corkness and Landers connections and the Cork control, surely the call can come. Maybe Larry doesn't have to do it. Landers can do it there today. He can make a call, surely.
Ronan Glynn is a Galway man. You might through the Thomas's contact. Okay.
and like we're possibly sending Coveney to Europe. So you see what happened to the matches over the weekend when you're down a man, like, you know.
You wouldn't send someone to Clare as well, would you? And someone to Tip and someone to Limerick. Yeah.
Well, now that Nemo are in the latter stages of the championship, I presume Micheál will want to go to them, like.
Yeah, the young Flint side and goal, sure. Yeah, I know. Shout out, lads, before we go as well to the Kerry final. Two semi-finals yesterday, two big wins for the Champions Causeway and the Owl friends in Kilmiley. And I'll tell you, lads, if there could be a crowd at that one in 2 weeks' time, there would be half an North Kerry there, because I have known rivalries in Clare and I have known rivalries in other sports and other counties. That will, I tell you one thing, there's a kind of an area in there between the two parishes called the Golan Heights, and lads have living across the road from each other playing with the other clubs, and there'll be some build up in that part of North Kerry there. I'll tell it quickly, the first night I went down to train Kilmiley, was a lad called Pete Young, whose sons were great hurlers on for the club. Pete was working in Money Point across in the ferry, you know, in the Clare side. So Pete got a lift up and he was going back with me to show me where the pitch was in Lerwick. Fabulous setup that they have there, like quiet country, one pub, church in the field, you know what I mean? But great club, so great tradition, great amount of titles and everything. So, but you turn off the road, so you go through Ballyduff and you're going on towards Tralee, from the Ballyduff Tralee Road, and next you turn off to your right, kind of down, you could call them Boreens now, but you know, slightly ahead of Boreens, right? So next thing we come to a crossroads anyway, and you could see a pitch over to the right. And I said, geez, you could see the hurling wall at the back of the pitch, you know. So I says to Pete, geez, Pete, I said, that looks a fabulous setup, like, you know, this is back now, 2007, like, Jesus, this is to me. That's Causeway, he says. Will you stop? We were taking a lift and we were going on about another 3 miles. Like, hell yeah. If you're on about rivalry, there'll be some build up down there and want to look forward to as well. Great talent on view as well down there as well. And that's the beauty, as I said about the Antrim semi finals. Great stuff again today, lads. Lads, I got a bit of stick off a female friend of mine about the podcast that we're very male orientated. And, so we're going to change that a small bit this week. We usually have the Gary Spillane Classic, but we're going to give it up to Cahat Devan from Connaulty Rossmore. I don't know if he saw it. She broke her hurley.
Unbelievable.
Possession. She took possession, dropped the hurley, which you can do in Camogie. Still, I think they're about to change the rules. Dropped the hurley, took possession from her brother John of another hurley. And if she put it over the bar, lads, they'd be showing it forever. Unfortunately, it dropped short, but some bit of innovation and skill.
I saw it on the clip you sent us last night. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And like, if you want to promote Camogie and promote hurling and stuff like that, some of that stuff was like, we saw Brendan Maher striking a ball over the bar with a half a hurley last year. We saw Jordine against Galway a couple of years ago with the hurley upside down. And we saw Kyle, and like, for so, she just threw it down. He threw it down, caught it with one hand, and fixed the hurley properly and got a great strike. It was brilliant.
The only thing is, I'd say it would nearly have to be a sibling, like that has been practiced during lockdown, I'd say, you know. That was a TikTok move, like.
In the moment, a brilliant thinking by both of them, in fairness.
Unbelievable. So, Cahat, we're giving it up to you here on the Irish Examiner. And we've gone on a good bit again today, lads, and a good long one. So for the fellas out cutting the lawn, getting the last cut in, or the cycling or the walking, I hope we're keeping you going an extra bit. And look, what stuff have we to look forward to again next weekend? The little All-Ireland is back. There's little things like the Kilkenny semi-finals and the Clare semi-finals. Small ones.
Minor details.
But we'll get a word in about them next week as well, team. So, lads, great stuff. Thanks, Larry, for everything as well there. And don't worry about Newport, Larry. And I, the Nina crowd, let me down. But the other two boys are going to bring up the bits. There's no doubt about that. Good stuff. Cheers, lads.